You might hurt yourself, hurt somebody else. If you're going to use that thing, use it right. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn for me to Mark. Turn for me to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. And let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter number 10. We're going to read one verse and we're going to dive into it. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Amen. All things are possible with God. With the Lord being our helper tonight, we're going to preach on God uses the unexpected. God uses the unexpected. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Lord, I ask you to remove sin out of me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you purge me of sin. I pray you fill me with your Holy Ghost, Lord. Help me with preach what thus saith the Lord. Nothing more, nothing less, Lord. Lord, we came to get some help from you, Lord. And I pray that we get some help, Lord. Me, myself included, Lord. Lord, just start with me, and I appreciate it, Lord. Lord, help us to get ready for Sunday morning, Lord. But right now, we need your word tonight, Lord. Lord, so I pray that you help us. Lord, help us in Jesus' name, pray. Amen. You may be seated. God uses the unexpected. Verse number 27 in Mark chapter number 10, the Bible says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God." We ought to shout. We can shout right there. We don't have to read nothing else. Nothing else I got to say. But it says, "With men it is impossible, but not with God." That means something about the change. Then it says, "For with God all things are possible." The first thing I want to see is God uses the unexpected people. God uses the unexpected people. It's a person in the Bible that I want us to look at, and we can learn something from him. His name is the Apostle Paul. Go with me to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We'll start in, I won't start there. Amen. Let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." At some time in life, you're gonna have some type of interaction with Jesus. If you come to this church, you're gonna hear about Jesus. If you hear about anybody else, you're gonna hear about Jesus. This light shined upon him, and in verse 4, the Bible says, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?" It's something when the Lord calls the name once. It's a whole nother ball game. He calls your name twice. Amen. You better watch out. The Bible says, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?" Then the Bible says, verse number 5, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." We can pause there. I remember being at the youth rally this summer, and pastor preached from this, and I was like, whew. Where you get all that from? I mean, it was a good start. I wish everyone could have been there, but this another time. And he said, "He trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So we see something here. We see a conversion of Paul. Now go with me to Acts chapter number 16. Chapter number 16. So we see the work in a person. That was Paul. Now we're going to see something, another work. We see God uses the unexpected places. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Now remember, we're talking about the same person, Paul. The same person, Paul, who persecuted the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 20, 16, verse number 22, the Bible says, "And a multitude rose up together against them, and magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Why are they trying to beat Paul? Paul had just, Paul and Silas were here in Acts chapter number 16, and they came across a person named Lydia. And Lydia got saved. When people get saved, the devil get mad, the devil get angry. The devil and his people, them devils, they get mad, they get upset. So that's what happened here. The person got saved, and now they're trying to throw him in prison. So the Bible says in verse number 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, trust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight. God does something in some unexpected ways. He does things in unexpected places. Where are these boys at? They in jail. Look at verse 125. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they did what? They prayed. They were praying and singing what? They were singing hymns. The Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto God. Not unto the jailers. Not unto those people who was outside trying to lock them in. They sang praises to the God that they know can do something. Because remember, all things are possible with God. The Bible says in verse number 26, and suddenly. That word suddenly means unexpected. That's where this whole thought came from. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Can you hear it? Shaking, the rattling. I can't imagine what the people around there was thinking. Now, you got to remember, they in prison. I would have been in there. All right, if it's an earthquake, I've been plotting. Okay, if it's an earthquake, these bars going to fly open. I'm going to get up out of here. But that's not what Paul was thinking. The Bible says, and the great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and why killed himself. Why is he about to kill himself? He was supposed to be watching them gates, them doors. That was his job. So he wakes up and see everything is going on, doors open. He was just going to kill himself, but something happened here. The Bible says, and why killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he came for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the greatest question in the Bible. One of the greatest questions. He asks, what must I do to be saved? At some point in time, all of us are going to come across that question. What must I do to be saved? At one point, I came across that question. I'm sitting here at the church. And many of you know my testimony, and I mentioned again, I was scared. I was frightened. Why? Because I wanted to be saved, but I didn't want everybody else to know. Yeah. Something's wrong with that. That's pride getting in the way. That's that that old flesh getting in the way. But you have to get rid of that flesh in order to get help from the master. We have to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Because why? Because he's willing to save us, but we have to be willing to come to him. Amen. The Bible says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord. Don't believe on me. I'm preaching, I'm singing, but don't believe on me. Yeah. Believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Noah, or not Noah. Big Noah. Randall hit on that earlier. He's talking about that house. I thank God that my family is here in the house of God. That is no other place that I'd rather be. Listen, Florida State playing tonight. They playing for the ACC championship. I love Florida State, but I love the Lord more. I got to say that again. I love Florida State. Y'all know I love football, but I love the Lord more. Why? Because he did something for me that Florida State can't do for me. He did something that football can't do for me. Football can't save you. Football sends you straight to hell. So you need to surrender your life to the Lord. I'm talking to myself. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Yes, amen. So that's, and see, I want to go look to Ephesians chapter number 2. See, when the Lord does something for you, it's exciting. But see, sometimes we got to remember where we came from. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and you have he quickened. Word quickened means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses. Trespasses mean fall to error and sins. Then Bible, the verse number 2 says, where in time past ye walked or followed according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, he's born to sin. This flesh is all sin. Bible says, verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he have loved us. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? I'm glad mercy goes along with grace. You talk about grace. God found grace in our. I mean, this is serious. It's serious business here. We were in trespasses. We were in sin. That's all past tense. I preached a sermon a while ago. Act like you. Nobody remember, huh? Act like you are not how you were. Something like that. It was good, I think. Amen, right? Amen. Move along. Verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, did I get to that verse yet? I didn't get to it. Let's keep reading. Verse number 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. All through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is the verse I want to get to. Verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. Amen. See, that word workmanship, it's a good word. I looked that thing up and I just want to stay right there for a moment. Workmanship is creation. It's also where we get our word. I've been practicing that word all day. Like, it's pimeo. Close. Amen. Somewhere around there. Y'all look at yourself. It's pimeo. That's also where we get the word poem. Now, if you ever took English, you had to, sometimes you had to write some type of poem, some type of poetry. Okay, poetry is hard. It's not about rhyming words. Sometimes you got to have the same syllables. You got to have just like songs. That's why songs mean so much to us. They're poetry. They're poems. So it's talking about workmen. So we're talking about something working together. After you make that poem and you read that poem, it touches people. It touches the people who created it, who made it, and then it blesses everyone else. Well, see, here we're talking about workmanship. When God creates us, after we get saved, it's his workmanship. So after you create something, you see sitting there watching that thing. So after you watching it, the poem, everything start coming together, then you become thankful. Now I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And verse number 12. Remember, we're talking about Paul. We're talking about Paul. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul right there talking about thankfulness. You talking about, Randall was talking about thankfulness a minute ago. He's saying, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Amen. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, and obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. What are you talking about? He did that while he was a sinner. He wasn't saved when he was doing those things. Remember I showed you in Acts chapter 16 when he got saved on Damascus Road. So previously, and I believe it's that, it might be chapter number 7, chapter number 8. Remember when they were stoning Stephen? They laid those coats, they laid the rags at someone's feet. That it said a young boy. Well, that young boy is Silas. Not Silas. It's Saul. His name was Saul at that time. So he was there while they was persecuting the Christians. So he was there from the very beginning. Then it says in verse number 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see that Paul is being humble. Paul said he's showing us exactly how to have a thankful heart. Not only to have a thankful heart, but come to the Lord in thanksgiving, and also saying he's saying that he's a chief sinner. That's how to say that. I mean, if you're full of pride and full of self, you're not gonna come say I'm sinful. I'm a sinner. I'm the chief of sin. You're not gonna do those things. But Paul is thankful. He's coming before the Lord with a thankful heart and for his mercy. In verse number 16, the Bible says, "Howbeit, for this cause I do obtain mercy." You go to the Lord humble. You obtain mercy. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's thankful. He comes to the Lord in a thankful heart. So I was talking about that poem, that workmanship. God is not. Now, can you imagine how God feels looking down at his work? His work is Paul. Paul leading many people to Christ. Paul singing praises in jail. The Lord gets happy. I believe Lord, he shouts up there, because remember, one person gets saved. The Bible says it's present, it's joy in the presence of angels. So the angels are not rejoicing. It's the people that's in it's a person in the presence of angels, which is Jesus, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now go back with me to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. So the first thing we saw, and I kind of flipped it, but amen. God uses unexpected people. God uses unexpected places. The places were the people in prison, Paul and Silas. Now I want you to see the third thing I want you to see. God uses unexpected process. God uses an unexpected process. Go over to Matthew chapter number 15. I say Acts, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 15. Amen. Acts chapter number 15, Matthew chapter number 15, and we'll start in verse number 21. What to give you context of it, in Matthew chapter 15, beginning part, it's talking about things that defile a man, and he's talking about not the things that you put in your mouth, food, but he's talking about the things that come out of your mouth. That's what defiles a man. But now we get to verse number 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." So this is the reason she came was because her daughter was grievously vexed. So the second thing we see, the reason she cried. The reason she cried. She cried because her daughter was vexed, and she came for that same reason. Then we see the reason she called. It's because her daughter again. But verse 23, Bible says, "But he answered her not a word." So this is an unexpected process. Usually when someone comes to the Lord, he asks them, "How might I help you? What would I do with thee?" But this time, she came, she cried, and he answered her not a word. Can you imagine going to God and you're in a time of weakness and in a time of desperation, and you go up to God, he answered not a word? But there's a reason he answered her not a word. See, she came concerned for her daughter. She came because the daughter's vexed. But she should have came concerned for herself. Why? Because she was a lost person. Now, there's a reason. Now, let's go back and let's read this again. Verse number 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan." So she was a Gentile. She was, the Lord wasn't, remember, he says later on, he didn't come for them. Remember, when he came to his own in Nazareth in chapter number 13 and 14. And remember, he did no mighty works because of their unbelief. So he didn't help them. So he left. And then the Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So his mission was for them. Then the Bible says in verse 25, then came she and worshiping him, saying, Lord, help me. So then it changed. So it's no longer concerned with the daughter. It's good to come. If you lost, it's good to come and cry for your daughter. It's good to come and cry for your son. Amen. But if you're not saved, the first person that needs to get helped is us.
Amen.
We need to come cry out for ourselves. Amen. Why? Because if you crying out for a lost person and you're not saved, they're looking at you like you're crazy. So we need to get ourselves right with God first. It's good to be concerned with everyone else. Let me fix that real quick. It's good to be concerned, but we need to concern with ourselves and get ourselves right with God. And then we can go out and get others. Why? Because we have our own testimony. When you witness to someone, you can use your testimony. The testimony is what God did for you, what he delivered you from. Then the Bible says in verse number 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Ooh, Lord, what you talking about? That's kind of rough. You calling her a dog? It's not me? What are you talking about? Then the Bible says in verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. Remember, when she came earlier, she came, O thou, Lord, son of David. She called him names she shouldn't be using at that time. But then it says, and she said, verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Amen. So this is a different process. This is an unexpected process. Then the Bible says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great or big is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made, what? Whole from that very hour. Why? That was my question. Why was she made whole? Why was the daughter made whole? Because of mama's belief. Mama's here. We got two mamas here. Your faith is going to be showed and demonstrated through the kids. If you prayed and believe, what the kids going to do? They're going to pray and believe. How do we know that? For example, we heard the prayer request from Michael earlier. He said, pray for my daddy. Well, how would he even know to pray for his daddy? He heard mama and daddy praying. He sees that prayer works. How do you know that? He prayed that the van get fixed. What happened to that van? That van got fixed. He prayed more for that van than I did. Every Tuesday. Pray for the van. It's in the hospital. It's sick. I should have been praying like that. We can learn from our own kids then. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be unto thee. Even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to ask the question. Do we trust God to do the unexpected? It's one thing to, Lord, I need this paid. And you know your check comes on Friday. It's a whole nother ball game when this is Friday just passed and it's zero in the account. And rent is due next week. That's a whole different ball game. How is our faith? Is our faith like this Canaan woman? Is our faith like hers? Even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Go back with me to Mark chapter number 10, verse number 27. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. How about we come to the altar and pray for the Lord for that impossible thing, that thing that we don't have faith in. Lord, we have faith, but Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, strengthen our unbelief. I pray you come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for faith, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you can increase our faith, Lord. Lord, we know that faith comes by hearing him by the word of God, Lord. So I pray that we continue in the things that we know to do, Lord. Help us in all areas, Lord. Help us in our Bible study. Help us in our soul winning. Help us to win people, Lord. Help us in our prayer life, Lord. Help us in our service life. Lord, I just ask you to strengthen our faith, Lord. Help us to pray for those unexpected things, Lord. That, Lord, we know you can do all things, Lord.